time certain, item 122, please.
Accept stipends tax task force report.
Commissioner Udaley.
Thank you, Mayor. This morning, we're going to hear a report on how city bureaus resource the Portlanders who volunteer their time and expertise to our many advisory bodies. This summer, Council directed the Office of Community and Civic Life, Office of Equity and Human Rights, Bureau of Human Resources, and the City's Attorney's Office to analyze the City's current policies and best practices for providing volunteer stipends. As many of you know, improving and diversifying the ways which Portlanders engage with the City and inform our decision-making is a topic of critical importance to me. There is a cost to civic engagement for community members. They give up time and money in the form of commute costs, parking, childcare expenses, and the value of their expertise to help the city provide the best and most equitable outcomes for residents. The resources it takes to participate mean that for some critical communities, the cost of participation is too high. That means that as a city, we are not doing all we can to hear from the full diversity of our community. And why that matters is that when we don't understand the unique needs and challenges in our community, we don't do a very good job addressing them. A stipends policy will not solve for all the barriers to serving on an advisory body, but it can reduce the burden and in turn expand the number of people and perspectives informing our bureaus. But first, we need an understanding of what the Bureau's current practices are and the relevant legal statutes. This is the next important step to diversifying the perspectives and expertise that advise city bureaus, and it's long overdue. I don't have the run of show, but here we have the Director of OEHR and Ashley Jaden from Civic Life.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners.
Good morning.
My name is Ashley Jaden. I oversee the Advisory Bodies Program. I'm going to let my colleagues introduce themselves as they speak. Our four bureaus were convened by a budget note tasking us with the topic of stipends. Today, we'll present emerging policy options, recommendations, and requests to return to you in May. The City of Portland has more than 100 boards and commissions. I've asked around a bit, and by comparison, most cities have between 20 and 30. I take this to mean we have an engaged city. If there's a topic, we have a committee for it. I took on this position because Council wanted to know who made up these boards, who was missing, and why. At Civic Life, we see people in the city inherently want to volunteer. On advisory boards, they do multiple hour meetings in the evening, they take on homework, reading reports and data, and represent their neighbors to influence policy and fight for those who aren't at the table. Because of the Advisory Bodies Program, we instituted a process that members announce when they financially gain from a decision. But what about the people who are there because the decisions have historically harmed them and their communities, or who are there to reverse the impact that continue? I recently met two young women who aged out of the foster care system, Sage and Mary. Council, we are looking how we can make sure Sage, who juggled after-school sports, clubs, friends, can give her valuable perspective on the city services she uses every day. Sage and Macy run the Oregon Foster Youth Connection, a conference to develop foster youth leaders and empower them in civic engagement. I got to watch Macy in action on a state committee she serves. She travels to government offices and sits among agency experts, people with degrees and doctorates, and she discusses policy. As the committee analyzed data and numbers, Macy, the only young person on the committee, raised her voice to clarify the data. She shared her real-world experience in foster care and how the accounting looks different in the field. Macy receives a nominal stipend to reduce barriers and attend that committee. And I'm thinking there's something to emulate to attract her to ours. Macy and Sage juggle school, work, internships while giving their free time to affect policy. They also train and mobilize other youth in foster care to do the same. We want Macy and Sage on our boards. We want the graduates of Oregon Foster Youth Connection on our advisory bodies. And if a nominal stipend will ease some of their burdens, then let's take that step. Our presentation will cover how an equitable approach leads to meaningful engagement, will cover legally informed practices, and will present bold recommendations. And I'll hand it off to Dr. Smith.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mayor, Commissioners, Markeisha Smith, Dr. Markeisha Smith, Director for our Office of Equity and Human Rights. So now that many government structures understand the value of community engagement and they welcome robust feedback from historically oppressed communities, there's an increased need to have these voices be an important part of our decision-making processes. And while government values these voices, we have not always thought carefully about the barriers that impede participation. Things such as transportation, family responsibilities, hectic work schedules, and I would say even more critically, the emotional impacts of sharing trauma that many communities have faced because of systemic oppression and government structures. So while we want to ensure that the voices of historically and currently oppressed community members are driving our policy practice and procedure, we have to make sure that we remove barriers to their participation. Ultimately, we have to invest time and resources into equity, and the work on stipends is just one slice of that pie. So thinking about our community members who we are saying have been overtapped, something to sort of think about. We acknowledge that in the past and often present, the practice of including community voices manifests as sort of a checkbox activity or exercise. We reach out to the same individuals who willingly come to share their experiences and perspectives as a representative of their community, while at the same time failing to recognize a tremendous amount of time, resources, and energy that these individuals give. This giving is most times offered without any expectation of reward or gift, and the giving is simply about a passion and commitment to improving conditions in their communities. It becomes our responsibility to recognize these sacrifices and respond accordingly. The stipend work provides us with this opportunity. And finally, we also want to acknowledge that Bureau's funding, revenue, resources are very different. As a leader for a small office with a large responsibility, I understand the strain on resources that conversations such as a stipend policy can create. But it's imperative that we consider equity and resources and ask the question, in what ways can we support bureaus and offices with not the same resources, because that would be equality, but rather how can we support bureaus and offices with the resources that they need in order to successfully implement this policy? And that is what we mean when we think about equity in resources across bureaus and offices. So with that, I will pass it to our legal team, Lori and Tony. And thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for the presentation.
So, Commissioner, I expect
Commissioner Udale, I expect we're going to be able to ask questions from staff after all the presentations are done.
Yeah.
So, no running away. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Lori Kraut from the City Attorney's Office. This is Tony Garcia and Lynn Wu, both attorneys from the City Attorney's Office. We're here to discuss the legal implications in City Council adopting a stipend policy for members of advisory bodies and commissions. We're not here to weigh in on the policy choices. So there are primarily two statutes that impact the analysis of providing stipends to volunteers. The first is the Fair Labor Standards Act. We commonly use the acronym FLSA. And the second is the Volunteer Protection Act. So I'm going to talk to you about the FLSA, and Tony's going to talk to you about the Volunteer Protection Act. So offering stipends to volunteers can get tricky under the FLSA because the city may inadvertently convert volunteers into employees. So first slide, please. So A volunteer must meet all of the bullet points on the slide. So their service, So their service has to benefit a nonprofit or a government agency. The volunteers cannot have been coerced into providing those services. The services are typically of what is generally considered to be volunteer work. Volunteers do not receive or expect to receive compensation. Their service is less than full-time, and volunteers are not replacing employees. The focus of my presentation is really going to be on this: volunteers cannot receive compensation or expect to receive it. So the next slide, please. This is the definition under the regulations to the FLSA. And again, it reiterates that the service must be for civic, charitable, or humanitarian reasons without promise, expectation, or receipt of compensation for services rendered. Next slide, please. Okay. So under the FLSA, the city may provide the following to volunteers. We can reimburse actual expenses. So if someone took an Uber to get to the meeting, we could reimburse that. Reasonable benefits might be providing food, providing child care, providing a bus voucher, something of that sort. And the language of the statute says, and a nominal fee. That's what we're referring to as stipend. But it has to be nominal, okay? So if you go to the next slide, please.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. Is there a definition of nominal?
There is not, but there is a safe harbor, so I'm going to get to that. All right, so what constitutes a nominal stipend? So number one, it cannot be a substitute for compensation. Number two, it cannot be tied to productivity. And number three, it complies with what the Department of Labor calls the 20% rule. So if the stipend is at or below 20% of the prevailing wage for that job, the stipend will automatically be will not be considered compensation, and the volunteer will retain that status. Tony?
Good morning again. I'm Tony Garcia from the City Attorney's Office, and I'm going to talk to you about the Volunteer Protection Act and the Oregon Tort Claims Act. Those are referred to with acronyms as well, the VPA and the OTCA. So under the Volunteer Protection Act, that is a federal liability protection for volunteers that would cover board members and volunteers that serve the city. You'll find more in-depth information on pages 6 and 7 of your report. And the Volunteer Protection Act is important because it is broader and would provide greater coverage than the Oregon Tort Claims Act. So if we look at the Volunteer Protection Act, there is a limit of $500 that a volunteer can receive in order to maintain their status under the VPA. And that $500 is not only monetary compensation, but also going to include any benefits they receive. So that will be parking, transportation, childcare, food, et cetera. Under the Oregon Tort Claims Act, if we were to go above the $500 in benefits, volunteers would be left with having to obtain coverage for liability protection under the OTCA. And under that, a court would apply a test to determine whether the volunteer was acting as an agent for the city. So again, the VPA is going to provide greater protection because they're a volunteer, and so they maintain that status as long as they stay under the $500. In terms of legal risk, not paying volunteer stipends has the least amount of risk. But if City Council chooses to pay nominal stipends, there appears to be a legal path forward, although the pathway becomes more complicated and does involve risk. We can look to the FLSA, the VPA, and the OTCA as guideposts for use in making decisions if council chooses to move forward with providing stipends.
I have a question.
Commissioner Udaly.
So it's my understanding that that $500 limit from the Volunteer Protection Act would include everything: food, transportation, childcare, and stipend. Is that correct?
That's correct.
However, under reimbursement of expenses, it says, in addition to nominal stipends, the city may reimburse volunteers. So that reimbursement can't be in addition to $500. It has to fall under that $500 cap.
So that's because there are two different issues at play.
Yeah.
So the reimbursements is under the test and the look under the FLSA, and the VPA is different.
But everything has to fall under the $500 cap is what I'm trying to...
If we want to stay with the VPA.
Yeah, I think we do. And then the 20% rule was a new one to me, and that is interesting. Little hard to quantify what the pay would be since these are not jobs. But it seems that we could go with at least the minimum pay of $15 an hour and 20% of that. I mean, we don't have any jobs that we can compare these volunteer roles to set a wage.
I think we might have to look at this a little bit more in terms of trying to work with BHR to figure out, is there a job classification that really might fit within this the scope of the work, and then figure out what is that wage and figure out 20% of that.
Okay.
But I would assume 15% would cause no trouble at all.
$15.
20% of 15.
So that would be a $3 an hour stipend.
Yeah, I'm saying I think there may be a path where we could figure out what would be an appropriate job. Alternatively, if there is no job in the city that kind of fits what these members are doing, we are then allowed under the 20% rule to look at the market and still do 20% of that wage.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
We have some more presenters from our group.
Very good.
So you're noticing by now that we're outnumbered by the lawyers. They got their own panel. I once wanted to go to law school, but then I thought after the stipends task force, I might as well jump straight to the bar. So our initial recommendations, developing a process. I recently met with Peggy Morales of Metro, and she did a happy dance because she's been spending the greater part of 3 years in the majority of her role trying to roll out their stipends policy, which is still evolving, and I understand they're still working on a pilot project as well. She commended us for starting with our legal counsel because they were important for us to understand what our restrictions were and also to prevent us from going down a path with community in making promises that we cannot fulfill. So our recommendation is that from here forward, we would develop the process based on the next one is asking you to base the stipend on the information that you've received. You've learned that we can go above what they can be protected under liability for, but that comes with some risk. So we ask that you set the basis for the stipend as we proceed forward in looking at this process. And finally, you've gotten some information about what would be included in that stipend. So our recommendation is that we track and report what benefits are being received. We know we have members that serve on multiple committees, and so reasonably so, if they're being offered or requesting a stipend on more than one committee, it's our responsibility to keep track of that, and if they go above a certain limit, to do accurate reporting of that.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question. So not everybody who serves on the 100-plus boards and commissions needs a stipend. And so I would not want to set up a process where we were just automatically paying people for the privilege of volunteering with us. What are your recommendations as it relates to, because what I think you're trying to do is reach untraditional participants and support their ability to actually bring their full selves to a volunteer opportunity. I guess I should have asked the lawyers this, but what is your plan around, like, not around offering it in a way that we're making sure that, A, we're not actually making it uncomfortable for people to ask for it, but we are making it clear that people who don't need it should thank us but say no thank you, so that we have those funds for people who need it. Is there going to be a process as we roll this out that we're really mindful of how this is playing out?
Thank you for your question. I'm going to pass it off to Director Sukri, who has that in our next portion of our initial recommendations.
If we advance the slide, you'll see that eligibility and priorities is a question that we've explored and also were asked of council.
Why don't we do this? Why don't you guys finish your, because I have a lot of the same questions, okay. Commissioner Hardesty is raising, that rather than interrupt the flow, why don't you finish your presentation and we'll write our questions down and then we'll have you come back up.
We're 4/5 of the way there.
Perfect.
Okay,
go ahead,
wonderful.
And finish it up.
So good morning again. My name is Sukri. I serve as director for the Office of Community and Civic Life. And I'm going to talk about three additional recommendations, a one-year pilot, eligibility and priorities, and also a stipend fund, as Dr. Smith was referring to get to more equity between bureaus. The one-year pilot, we know that the need is clear, it's long overdue, and we have a yes we can orientation to this, and there are pathways to build. And we feel in order to equip ourselves for success, let's take this in a staged approach where we actually set the foundations and actually can proceed with confidence and with communities and with bureaus. So in the one-year pilot, thank you for the feedback during our conversations with council, we like to set up the process, develop shared tools and tracking, and we absolutely will identify issues and implementation that are going to be different than what we have projected in our planning today. And so that includes setting the basis of the fund amount, gathering requests for stipends, tracking all bureaus, and developing the tools and mechanisms to do that, creating and testing educational guidelines, and volunteer advisory board members should be informed. They need actually information to participate or decline or otherwise, and so we feel a one-year pilot will help us establish those important things. Secondarily, eligibility and priorities. Here we are going to share with you some of the eligibility priorities that we set forth as initial recommendations, but the most important part of this presentation is that we have to keep in mind as we set eligibility and priorities so that inadvertently discriminate, especially to protect a status. And so later on, when we ask you the question specifically, council's thoughts on eligibility and priorities, we're going to do that with the caveat that all of them need to be reviewed by legal counsel. So our baseline recommendation is that any volunteer advisory board member who is not compensated by another body is eligible. That's a baseline recommendation. But that there are also priorities. So limited resources can help set priorities. Some bureaus may not have, even if they have revenue, they may not have sources of funding that allow them to use it for this purpose. And so there might be, we're also recommending that council may set additional eligibility and priorities, and that bureaus can further set them unique to their situation. They could include, for example, people who do not have bus passes from work or school, people who have experienced homelessness or houselessness, and people who do not have flexible work schedules. Those are considerations that actually would not discriminate against any protected class, so there are ways to set those priorities, as Commissioner Hardesty has indicated, and we'd like to hear how you would like to set them. And then council could also set priorities for all advisory bodies that supersede bureau considerations. For example, you could set priorities for only advisory bodies that report to council, or advisory bodies specific areas of work like houselessness, especially in the initial year. And then lastly, I'm going to speak to the stipend fund. So as we mentioned before, even if you have revenue, it might not be, this might not be an eligible use for that revenue. And in many cases, people will not have resources in their budget to provide the stipend in addition to the attendance supports they might already provide for volunteers. General fund bureaus and offices have generally 1 to 4 advisory bodies, and typically the staff who work on them have several roles. And then, also we feel like a fund that is a citywide fund for bureaus to access also helps to curtail the inaccurate impression that some advisory bodies' work are more important than others. And then I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Tom, to talk about budget considerations.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. My name is Tom Schneider. I'm with the Bureau of Human Resources. Purpose of this particular section is just to give a high-level view of what the potential budget impact is of a citywide stipend program. And ultimately, what that looks like will be your discretion to help guide and determine what level we're proceeding with. In terms of overall budget considerations, we wanted to provide some context there. Based upon the information we currently have, there's 4,000 advisory body positions citywide. So it's quite a large number of individuals actively participating in advisory bodies. As we discussed earlier, the total value of the stipend includes all reimbursements to an individual, such as the nominal stipend, food and transportation, and that's what we would recommend being included in that total dollar amount. What's important to note is that some bureaus already have budgeted for and provided food to some advisory boards, so there's existing money that's currently being spent on this activity. In terms of legal constraints, Sook has identified or had mentioned the restrictions on use of a bureau-specific funds in support of stipends. There may be sources of revenue, such as grants for a particular program that have language associated with it that prohibit the use of those funds for stipends. So that's something that we would have to work through. And in fact, a citywide stipend fund may have the opportunity to assist in providing stipends to areas that may not otherwise be able to afford that. We're in the process through the Office of Equity and Community Life, Office of Community and Civic Life of trying to gather more information about advisory bodies and some of the characteristics around the stipends currently being offered. So there should be more information forthcoming that can help formulate some of the thinking around this overall what the stipend framework looks like. Moving on to components of a stipend budget. There's essentially two main components, which we've talked about, each of the members of this work has talked to. One is the actual stipend fund. And what's important to note, and we're certainly not necessarily advocating this, but just so you know for context, if we have $500 maximum stipend to the citywide advisory members, the total cost of that would be $2 million per year, and that's just the total universe of the advisory board members. And certainly it's at council's discretion to set that at some point below that, as well as look at other ways of targeting those areas with higher need in terms of providing some of the goals we're looking for through a stipend program. What's also important to note is that a portion of the city's total stipend costs are related to non-general fund bureaus. Although we don't have the exact breakdown and we're in the process of gathering more information around that, Right now, 49% of regular city employees are currently working for general fund bureaus. So that gives you some estimate of what the cost would be in relation to the general fund. Resources, the second component of the of a stipend budget is resources for operational support. Ashley had talked a little bit about monitoring and tracking, and basically what we would be looking for is dedicated staff to administer a program, some resources to engage in stakeholder feedback through focus group facilitated groups, time and materials for initial and ongoing training of city staff as well as the volunteers, software to manage a stipend program, and just related office equipment costs and other overhead related to administering the program.
Commissioner Hardesty.
I'm sorry, I had a question, but I'll wait. I'm sorry. The mayor did ask us to wait, so please continue.
That is really the prepared remarks that I have for these two slides.
Okay.
And then finally,
last slide.
Just last
promise.
Slide. Finally, the questions we have for council regard are on this last slide around stipends. Should we stipend limit priorities and the citywide fund? And I wanted to mention where we are in the process. Today, we're asking for any and all your considerations for us to review further and to add or eliminate options that we need to bring back to you. We're proposing to do that in May after then taking this framework and the same set of questions to bureaus, advisory committees, and communities. We have not had in the 6 months that the budget note was delivered to us, have not had the opportunity to do that, and we feel that's critical. And so today we're not asking you for a decision, we're asking you for your priorities, considerations, et cetera. They will need to be further reviewed legally, and the financial considerations are all weighing on us, and so we are not actually making a budget request for you today.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you all for the presentation. So my first thought is whether or not the 100-plus advisory committees are effective, if we're getting the outcomes that we want from them. And if we're not, why would we fund committees that aren't actually giving us the outcome that we want? I can think of committees that on paper, they still exist, but they've been around for 10 and 15 years and nothing happens, right? So those kind of oversight boards, I would have no interest in funding in action, right? And so I think the question becomes, how do we as the electeds figure out how we get value for the investment that we're making? And I'm concerned that if most municipalities have 20-some and we have 100, do we have too many advisory boards that really are just advisory boards in name and really aren't adding value to the city's operation? Mm-hmm. That was not your task. That was not what the budget note said. But I can't help but ask that question when I realize the magnitude of folks who, at least on paper, are providing input to the city. So I guess my question would be, what before I could decide, like, even actually start thinking about what does this look like, I'd want to know that we are actually investing in committees that are really giving the city information that we need, and I would like to disband the ones that have been around forever and no longer serve a purpose.
Commissioner Fritz has a question.
Thank you, Mayor. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
First of all, thank you very much to Commissioner Udaly and Director Ree and Ashley Jayden for all your work on this. It's an important discussion. And thanks especially to Tony Garcia, Lynn Vu, and Laurie Kraut in the City Attorney's Office. It's definitely something that we want to be very careful about, continuing to protect our volunteers from lawsuits. I am very concerned. We don't have $1 million spare we don't have much money spare at all in the next budget. So I'm very concerned that we may be setting up an expectation of being able to move forward with this when we all know we have a very constrained budget. Second of all, our our boards and commissions don't routinely provide even basic support like transportation assistance, childcare, etc. And I think we should have a discussion about, is that more important, or is that equally as important for providing opportunities to people, as well as a stipend, which is going to have to be fairly nominal by law. I was concerned about the statement that 49% of the employees work for general fund, implying that perhaps 49% of the volunteers are in general fund. I think it's much higher than that. We don't have many boards and commissions in the utilities or in the Office of Management and Finance, the auditor's office, the ones that are overhead funded or have other sources of funding. So I think the bottom line is I appreciate all the work that's been done, and I'm wondering, is it wise to continue moving forward on this before we have the budget discussion?
I don't know if that's a question you want directly asked, but actually this is incredibly valuable feedback because we do not have that inventory. We have an approximate inventory of even the existence of advisory bodies, and that's been a challenge because we cannot compel. It's a voluntary reporting at this time, so we do not have that information. I have a little bit of deja vu from yesterday's 311 session, uh-huh. is that we actually don't have the data that we need, and we don't have that culture throughout the city of accountability, reporting, and tracking, and that also applies here. And that said, that work that Commissioner Fritz has asked for, can we actually attempt to do an inventory of the attendance supports and the existing investments we're already making, and whether that's a citywide practice? I think that is good work that can come next, and I have noted that. And also, Commissioner Hardesty, when you said, is effectiveness a way to set priorities? And then that's another body of work until we can define and make judgments around effectiveness, but that also is a priority setting exercise that we could actually undertake in the next phase.
And I want to be clear, I mean, is the committee fulfilling its charge, right? Mm-hmm. We have some committees that I know that have been on the books for 10 or 15 years, and they aren't doing anything, right? Mm-hmm. It would be really helpful for us to have some kind of, I don't know, is there a place to go and look at where all our boards and commissions are? Is there a one-stop place
yes.
to do that? Where is
yes,
that?
Yes, on the boards and committee website, we can send a link to it. There's a list of boards that we know about. And as far as whether they're fulfilling their charge, my program was established in 2017 to start asking boards to state what their charge is and
right.
what their scope is. And one question that we have remaining is whether there's mutuality in us wanting to continue to receive that advice and feedback.
Right.
For many of the staff who are working with these boards and commissions, the answer is yes, we want to continue receiving that feedback. The
mm-hmm.
question we would have for council is, who's the ultimate authority to decide whether this is useful feedback and we're getting what we need?
Right. I just want to say, I want to be clear, I absolutely support removing barriers for folks to be able to fully participate in our boards and commissions. And what we know is that if we don't provide food and childcare and transportation assistance, that we cannot get low-income people to come and fully participate. If you're worried about what's happening with your child, if you're worried about where you're going to get dinner, you cannot fully participate in a meeting, right? And so I have been a strong champion forever that we have to find some way to help people when we keep asking them over and over and over again to provide assistance. Right, so I wish I like had a great answer for you right now to say if you do this, and this, we'll figure it out. I think we have to keep talking about what the values are that are leading this conversation, right? What the limits are based on what our resources are and the processes that we have in place, and then three, how do we start off prioritizing those who are in the most need, right? For me, those are like the three top ones, but I'm absolutely committed. I think this is the right thing to do, especially because we go out over and over and over again trying to recruit the same people. So I'm on board. I just have to figure out how we do this in a way that doesn't break the bank, and actually helps us help people be able to fully participate.
Mayor. Commissioner Daly.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry. Thank you very much. Excellent work. Really appreciate the detailed work. Commissioner Daly.
So Commissioner Hardesty brings up a good point. We do need to determine the universe of these boards and commissions and whether or not their work is still vital. Those are two separate processes. For the sake of this conversation, I think we have to assume the answer is yes, but we don't have to finalize this decision and begin a program until we have completed that other process of determining what bodies we want to preserve. So for the sake of this conversation, I'm going to assume that everyone's contribution is important and wanted, and that we want to honor the time and effort people put into volunteering for the city. I think number one question for me is I would need a accounting of the existing budgets in these individual bureaus for this kind of support, because we don't have to assume we have to find brand new additional money. There's already resources being allocated to this. Where is it? How much is it? Two, I think there's some really obvious criteria for dramatically reducing who would qualify for a stipend. Number one, that would obviously be anyone who's being paid to serve on a committee. We have many professionals who serve on committees. It's part of their job. They don't need a stipend. We have committees that are made up of highly paid professionals. They don't need stipends. Stipends are about reducing barriers to individuals who represent underserved communities, whether
minimum wage.
Please do not shout.
Whether that's
not interrupt.
Black, indigenous, or other people of color.
Excuse me. Please do not interrupt. You heard the rules. You know the rules. Please do not interrupt.
Violation of state federal law.
Sorry, Commissioner. Go ahead.
Ridiculous. You don't need to keep records. Unbelievable. Where's that money been going? Who's it been going to? Why don't you pay them in?
You know, everybody listens to you when you testify. You could at least extend the same courtesy to others. Sorry, Commissioner Daly.
I'm just going to wait for the disruption to subside.
It's gone.
I think it has. And then I think there's some other obvious criteria that we could just ask people to attest to. I don't want these supports to be difficult to access. I don't want people to be made to feel uncomfortable or guilty for needing them. But I think there's some obvious criteria. Are you housing cost burdened? Do you live in regulated affordable housing? Do you qualify for food stamps? Are you homeless? Are just a few off the top of my head that I think would be very reasonable criteria for receiving stipends. And then, and now I've lost track of those five questions that you wanted us. Okay.
Four questions.
So you wanted feedback from council. Yes, I think that we should offer a nominal stipend with constraints following this process we're talking about to determine what boards, commissions, and committees we want to preserve. Yes, I think that we should limit the stipend to $500 a year because it becomes incredibly complicated and puts volunteers at risk if we go above that. We should have eligibility framework based on income and need. And the citywide fund question, I think we're probably going to need more time and information. But the first step towards that would be how much are we already allocating to these funds.
Okay, I have some feedback. First of all, I think conceptually and from a values-based perspective, this is good. The question I think you are trying to answer is how do we get people who have barriers to participation to participate? So we're all in philosophical agreement. Here's where I start to diverge from what I'm hearing today. I don't know yet that offering a stipend is the answer to the problem, and I'm not sure we've asked the question yet. Have we actually gone out into the community and spoken to people who do not participate but who would like to participate and ask them what do they need in order to have the barriers reduced? I'm persuaded by what Commissioner Hardesty said. What I hear from people is I do it, except I have a small child, you don't provide childcare, I can't afford childcare. If you were in a place where childcare was provided, then I could. And we do that for our budget work, and we do that for some other meetings that we've had where we provide, when we did our public safety meeting the other day, we had a childcare professional there to help take, and so people who had kids could come. For others, they're going to say it's transportation. Related to that, if you hold the meeting at City Hall and I live on 162nd and you want me at City Hall at 5 p.m., I'm out. So maybe it's about where we hold our meetings and how frequently we get out of the building and go to the community where people actually are. I'd also want to interview the people, or at least poll the people who currently serve on our boards and commissions. What do they think? What do they need? What's successful and what isn't successful? When we get to the one-year pilot, the question I have is, how do you define success? Do we know the answer to that? What's the metric by which we measure success at the end of the pilot?
Depending on some of the feedback we're receiving today, that's how we would then be able to address that. But yes, that is not something we can answer for you until we have some of these questions.
My gut reaction is this: the metric would have to somehow encompass people, the number of people or the percentage of people who are participating who would not have participated but for whatever the solution is we're offering. And to me, the idea of a stipend just feels like a blunt instrument. I disagree that you could means test this. If you're trying to reach people who may I'll give you just sort of an obvious example. If you are here as a first-generation immigrant, the idea of turning over your income and your home address and other personal information might actually dissuade you from participating in a public process. So I think philosophically we're all on the right track. I'm not persuaded yet that a stipend is the right solution for this. And number two, I agree with Commissioner Hardesty. I'm still not convinced that we have it right when it comes to community engagement. We have a lot of boards and commissions. We hear from some. Many of them are extremely effective, and people dedicate time, talent, energy to those commissions. Other commissions, we don't really hear from, and we don't really have clear understanding. And in some cases, they're advising our bureau directors and bureau leadership, and so we're sort of one off from that. But before we jump to the answer of a stipend will fix our problem, I think we need to clearly define the problem. I think we need to talk to the community. I think we need to talk to people on the boards and commissions and come back with a more refined understanding of what the problem is we're trying to solve, and then put some metrics out here that would help us define what success looks like. And I'm not there yet. So what I'd like to encourage, I don't want to stop your work. I think you're on the right path. I would encourage us at a later date to have a work session, take this information that we're all throwing in the middle of the table here, and then go off and come back with a work session with maybe a more refined set of next steps. And then last but not least, I just have to put it on the record. In my notes here, it looks like the cost is somewhere between $1 and $2 million per year. I just want to reiterate what Commissioner Fritz said, which is for the next year's operating budget, we only have $100,000 in additional ongoing funding. So right off the bat, we would be making a promise that we cannot fulfill today. And I don't want to set up that false expectation in the minds of anybody. And so we might have to be smarter about this. in terms of how we go about it. Commissioner Daly.
So what I heard you say is that we should provide on-site childcare for all our boards and committees.
I didn't say that.
We need an east side.
I want to be very clear. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we should evaluate the boards. We have over 100 boards and commissions, and some of them maybe we do, some of them maybe we don't.
Sure.
And maybe alternatively, it's just going out into the community and having our meetings closer to where people live. Mm-hmm. We're trying to paint with a very broad brush, and I'm not convinced the problem is a broad brush problem. Maybe it's supporting community organizations that work with frontline communities.
Right, and that actually brings me to one of the points I want to make. This is reducing barriers to participation by offering stipends for things like childcare and transportation or providing food. Our best practices and their proven methods of reducing barriers and supporting participation. That's not in question. I have done this kind of work for over a decade, and it's really the least that we can do and the most basic thing that we can do, but it's not the only thing that we're doing. Through Civic Life, every day we work with the communities you're referring to build capacity in the communities. For greater participation, engagement, and leadership. Sure, I'd love City Hall to have an East Side satellite office or hold these meetings on the East Side. That's achievable. When I suggested there be some criteria, I was very clear that I wanted that opting in to be extremely low barrier. No one's going to have to prove their income. We're going to assume the best of everyone who's already volunteering their time, that they're going to be honest. We're not going to put them in any kind of uncomfortable or precarious position having to share personal information. And, you know, my measure of success is that people who are already volunteering and maybe struggling to show up are showing up more often, that our boards and commissions are more diverse than they currently are, and that we are getting more input from the communities that we're trying to reach. And as far as the budget, like I said, there is already money allocated in many bureaus for this kind of work. So the first question to answer is how much is already there? How is it being spent? Can we use it more efficiently? Is there existing additional resources within bureaus? We're not coming and asking for an additional $1 to $2 million of ongoing funds. That's not what's happening.
Thank you. And Commissioner Fritz has a question, then Commissioner Hardesty.
Well, I have a comment. I agree with the mayor that we should have a work session on this. I think it's an interesting discussion and a very important one. And there are I think it's going to be hard for us to get to a direct to be able to give direction to staff in the meeting today. And second of all, I've always taken it as my responsibility as the commissioner in charge of every bureau that I've been in to help make sure that the boards and commissions become more representative of the community, and also to change the ones that are not working as well. And I actually know that there's one in the Water Bureau that hasn't met for years and years, and I will take responsibility for bringing that to council, because unfortunately it's mentioned in the code, so we'll have to do a code change in order to get it out of off the books. But I do think that the Civic Life staff are welcome to ask me, and I'm sure my colleagues on the council, about the different boards and commissions within our bureaus, because I certainly know who serves on each of them and have worked to make sure that they are as supported as possible.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz and Mayor. I appreciate the comments that folks are making, but I want to be clear. I don't think that there's any confusion that we are overtapping people with limited resources. There's no wondering about whether or not, when we ask low-income people to volunteer their time, whether or not it costs them significantly more than it costs professional people. There's no question about that. The question is, how do we do this in a way that is equitable and that prioritizes people who have the biggest need? And we may even add the people that we desperately need to hear from, right? I would love the lawyers to come back and ask me one or all three, and or to answer the question about whether or not we could set up criteria that prioritize people based on economic status and based on the needs of the work group, right? And so, you know, it's not, it's about whether or not, and I don't want, as Commissioner Udaly said, to actually have people have to go through a means test. I mean, people are very straightforward when you are one-on-one recruiting them. They will tell you what their barriers are. And if we're not ready to respond to them, then we lose them. And so is there any feedback from our legal eagles to tell us whether or not we could legally set up a process whereby we would have criteria, which meant everybody would not be entitled to it, but could we write it narrow enough that the people that we were trying to engage would be the ones who would be the priority?
And I just want to say, before you answer Commissioner Hardesty's very good question, this is obviously a really important and interesting subject, and we could talk about this for another 3 hours. We do not have the time today, so after this, I will ask for I'm jumping the gun, but I don't think we're going to have any problem with the report being accepted today and moving on to the next steps and continuing the conversation.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Lynn Vu. I'm a Deputy City Attorney. I appreciate the question, and it is a question that came up during our task force discussions. What I can say today is that we've discussed it, and I think we need to look at it very, very thoroughly, and we can get back to you with an answer.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
I move the report.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Hardesty, a second from Commissioner Udaly. Please call the roll.
Fritz?
Thank you very much. That was a really interesting presentation and discussion. And again, thank you to Sukri and Commissioner Udaly, Ashley Jaden in Civic Life for leading this. Thank you, Dr. Markeisha Smith in the Office of Equity and Human Rights, the legal counsel, Tony Garcia, Lin Vu, and Laurie Kraut, as well as Tom Schneider for the budget guidance, and Kathy Bless in the Bureau of Human Resources, who is involved in the process. I think there are many, many questions still to be discussed, and I support the mayor's recommendation for a work session rather than trying to do that on the fly today. Some of the things to talk about are, should there be a flat rate or one suggested based on the frequency of meeting, the stipend limit, and how do we calculate the cost of the value of benefits like transportation and food, etc., and does, when you've calculated that in, does that make the stipend almost not worth doing? And do we allow the bureaus to set additional priorities and eligibility? Should there be a citywide fund so that different bureaus are not at different levels of being able to do this? So those are just some of the things that I am concerned about, and I look forward to the work session. Oh, by the way, I am leaving to come downtown, so I am at this point signing off, and I will be back. I will be in council chambers in half an hour, so.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Hardesty.
I think this is great work. This is something that's near and dear to my heart. I have a value of making sure we support our volunteers, and I look forward to the work session and what comes next. I vote aye.
Udaly.
Thank you for the report. I'm also very supportive of the idea of a work session. I think some important questions have been raised today. I do want to assert that I think that our current approach, which is very piecemeal, inconsistent across bureaus, and dependent on the leadership and commissioners in charge, is not adequate. And so whatever we do, I hope moving forward we at least have a system that is consistent and equitable. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
This was a fantastic conversation today, and I actually am really looking forward to continuing it. I agree with something Commissioner Udaly just said that's really important, which is we really don't have a standardized platform for community engagement, and I think that's where some of the messiness is coming through. So I appreciate your efforts, Commissioner Udaly, to try and rationalize and standardize this approach. I appreciate the work that our legal team is doing. Director Ree, thank you for your continued efforts on this. Dr. Smith, as always, thank you for your fantastic leadership and contributions to this effort. I think I put all my questions on the table. I look forward to having those questions and concerns answered. I look forward to continuing this conversation. It's a good one, and it's an important one. I vote aye. Report's accepted.